Good morning. It is Sunday, May the 12th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, before we get into some different topics, I just want to ask, what happened with the power on Friday morning? A good chunk of town, I believe the southeast quadrant, was without power for about 5 or 6 hours Friday morning. Likely came back on for everyone to wake up and listen to WHLC, but what happened there?
And it's my understanding it was kind of intermittent. It'd come on and then go off and so forth. And then there are two factors about our electricity here in Highlands. One is the town network in our operation, and then we have the transmission issues related to Duke. It's my understanding that the problem was not with our local grid, but actually there was problems with the transmission grid with Duke, so it wasn't something we could respond to. Duke had to correct some of the things. I'm been told that they lost two bells. I'm not sure what the bells imply or what they are, but they lost those. They burned out and they had to replace them, so that was the problem. We've had several situations now where our transmission system has had a problem. If you remember, several weeks ago there was that accident where a truck knocked out a transmission line and it shut our power down. So those things happen in a situation where we're dependent on the electricity being transported to the city.
Mr. Mayor, this past Monday, it's the cover story in the Highlander this week, a house fire on Paul Walden Road. And unfortunately, despite the amazing response time of the Highlands Fire Department, the house was destroyed by fire. Is there anything that we can change? I mean, like I said, the response time, if I read the reports right, was somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 minutes, which is pretty good for a volunteer fire department.
That's right. Well, and I'm not real familiar with the exact, chronology of what happened, although I do know that when the firemen arrived, the house was pretty much engulfed and the fire was well underway. So that's very difficult with a wood structure to, just prevent that and being able to put it out. So that's one situation. It does illustrate the fact that we do have house fires and businesses to catch on fire here on the plateau. We're not immune from those kind of, disaster situations, and we're constantly trying to upgrade and prepare our firefighters to respond as quickly as possible and with the best equipment available. And that is kind of a segue into what we discussed at the town budget workshop on Thursday afternoon at the conference center, and that was we looked at the fire department budget, and I've made this comment now several times, we've got to start making some changes for the future of our fire department. While it is a volunteer fire department, we need to start moving toward having more full-time firemen on call 24/7. That is now happening in Cashers. They already do that. Franklin, the same is the situation. They have a cadre of full-time firefighters that work with the volunteers that are part of the fire department. And we need to be moving in that direction. And then also we need to build a new fire department. And again, I've said this now several times, we've got to upgrade our fire facilities, especially in light of all the research now on cancer exposure by our firefighters when they're fighting a structure fire. And we need to have a facility where they can decontaminate all the equipment and their uniforms can be washed and decontaminated following the best protocols for doing that now. We need better training spaces for our firefighters and so forth. So we're looking at building either a new fire department on the current site or building a new fire department if we can find, the property in a strategic location to where we can continue to have good response times. The process of making that decision between whether it will be a new building on location or a new location is going to be resolved in the coming weeks, not next year, but we need to do this as soon as possible. So we'll make that decision very soon, And then the other thing that we know we have to do, we're going to have to raise the fire tax from 1 cent to 3 cents. We've been working with an architect. We have now some very preliminary but pretty accurate numbers that we will have to spend somewhere between $3-4 million for a new fire department. If Landen is involved, it would even be more than that. We believe that if we raise the fire tax to that level of 3 cents, we can meet those requirements and then begin to transition toward a round-the-clock staffing of the fire department, the new fire department. So it's going to be a change, and it seems like that's a real significant increase in the fire tax, which it is. But even with that increase, we will be significantly lower in our fire tax rate than any department in Macon County, and to be quite frank, in the entire region. So it's the next step in developing and meeting the needs of the fire department in the future. With that said, we are going to have a town forum or a community forum for all the residents in the Highlands Fire District. And that's going to be on the evening of May the 21st. I believe that's a Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Highlands Recreation Department in the Arts and Crafts Room. And I will be there. Our fire chief will be there. Our town manager will be there. Some representatives from the fire department and possibly some board members will be there. And we will be happy to answer questions and go over the plan with the public at that time. So I encourage anyone that has any questions or concerns to please come to this community forum, which again will be on May the 21st, 6 to 7, at the Highlands Recreation Department. So that will be the beginning to move forward into the future with our fire department. And that was a big topic of discussion at the budget workshop. Just to put this in perspective, right now our fire department budget is over $400,000. The budget for the Franklin Fire Department is almost $1,900,000+. Mm-hmm. They are charged with protecting $1 billion, that is Franklin, $1 billion in assessed property value. And their fire department has, you know, full-time folks and volunteers. Mm-hmm. By comparison, our department is primarily built on volunteers. That $400,000 plus budget that we have is intended to protect $3 billion in assessed property value. So we just need to, you know, update what we're doing in the fire department. And I think those numbers kind of illustrate where we're going and where we need to go.
Mr. Mayor, you referenced your budget workshop. And I know folks who are looking perhaps at last year's budget and then this year's proposed budget, if they look at the numbers, they would see what appears to be a more than 50% increase in expenditure, but some of that is more accounting than actual checks going out the door.
That's right. I got my preliminary packet for the budget workshop, and last year's budget was around $18 million. This year's budget, the number was $28 million. So wow. I immediately went to town hall, went into the town manager's office and said, Josh, what in the world is going on? I knew we were going to address some paving and things like that this year, but why such an increase? And he explained that we are building the broadband network this year. We've borrowed $4.6 million to start that construction in the coming weeks. Our accountants and auditors have told us that we have to kind of do a double entry on our budget. There's money coming in and money coming out, and it has to be reflected in the budget cycle. Mm-hmm. So it adds up to over $9 million that we have to post in the budget. Therefore, you add it on to the $18 million, and you get very close to that $28 million figure. So that's why the budget looks like it's, you know, ballooned and it's huge, but it's really about that loan that we will be paying back over the next 15 years with the revenue coming from the operation of the fiber optic network. And we do have other, you know, projects this year that will cause us to have a slight increase in the budgets that we've had in the past.
Well, aside from that little bit of accounting magic there, where are some of the other big-ticket items that are included in this budget? Mm-hmm.
One of the things we had was the split rail waterline replacement, which is an $875,000 project. We had some of the projects like that under what we call a red line, indicating do we absolutely have to do them right now? And that project we decided was something we just have to do, because if we don't do it now, it'll cost more money and we could start having real problems with delivering water to the residents. So that's going to be funded in the proposed budget. Also, we had a number of paving projects, and some of those were redlined. Do we really need to do them? And the board, looking at the list, and there are about four major projects: Satula, which will be paved after the completion of the water tank; Colasager Drive, about two-thirds of that; Hickory Hill, and also Oak Lane. All of these roads are in really bad shape. We could save money in this budget by not doing all of them, but then we'd have to address it next year and it'd cost more money. So we kept all of the paving projects that we've identified in the budget, because next year we're going to have another long list of expensive paving projects to address, so we can catch up with the paving of roads in the town. We've kind of fallen behind, and it's been aggravated by all of the bad weather and the rain and so forth. So we have to be aggressive in that area and get those roads paved, just like we just completed the paving on Fifth Street and Carolina Way. Sometimes this summer we'll have the money and start paving the rest of those projects on the list. So that's a big part of the budget. And then we have to deal with some upgrades with the water department and the water plant. And with that, we're going to have to raise rates slightly. I think the basic rate of $30-something dollars a month will go up by $1. And then the usage rate will go up by $1. And some people would say, well, why do you feel like you need to do that? We were seeing slight deficits in the budget of the water department. And the other thing that is a national problem, a lot of small communities have had water plants where they've said, oh, we'll keep the rates down low. And yes, we need to make these repairs, but we'll get around to them. And by delaying rate increases and addressing those problems, there are a lot of small municipal water systems that are really in bad shape. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost a lot of money to bring them up to basic standards. In our situation, we have a very good water department. We meet all of those standards. And we can't say we'll delay, you know, improvements like addressing the problems we have with the water filters that we will have to, you know, repair and upgrade in the coming couple of years. We can't just sit back and say, well, we'll hold the rates down and won't do these projects and maintenance activities, because then you really get into a bad situation where you have a failing system, and we're not going to do that.
Mr. Mayor, I understand you and the town manager are taking the broadband show on the road this coming week.
That's right. We will be speaking before the Macon County Commission, and we want to give them an update about where we are in building up our broadband. And, you know, I use the term now building, not developing or planning. We're building this system, you know, in the coming weeks. So I want to give them an update and also emphasize how, while this is a Highlands project, the benefits will go well beyond just the town of Highlands. For example, we have people on our electrical grid that live outside the city limits. They'll be a part of the broadband system too, because we have utility poles that can carry the fiber to them. And we are working with other initiatives. For example, there's Little T Broadband down in Alto, and they want to connect with us, especially with Wide Open, to see how we can work cooperatively to disseminate broadband throughout the whole part of this part of the county. And we want to make the county commission aware that while we're building it just for Highlands right now, we see this spreading throughout this whole area.
And I understand that's not the extent of your travels this coming week. You're also heading to Hickory for the League of Municipalities meeting. Why do you go to those?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked that, Chris, we really depend on the League of Municipalities for support, guidance, education, and information. For example, we have our insurance for our employees with the League of Municipalities now, where we work in a big pool of all the municipalities in the state of North Carolina. Since we've gone with the league this year, we're not going to have an increase in health insurance, believe it or not, with our employees. It's very stable because we work with the league. And we depend on the league on many aspects of how we operate this town government. I've heard people say before, well, you need to go out and seek the advice of experts who know all about, you know, personnel or utilities or whatever. And my response is, we're constantly in contact with experts beyond just our local folks. We have access to all of the experts that are in the League of Municipalities who are studying and keeping abreast of all of the current issues related to all aspects of operating a city. And because we're a member and we go to these conferences, it's a real education for our town manager, our staff, the mayor, and I'm glad we have that relationship with the League of Municipalities. It'll be a two-day event in Hickory, and we'll be there attending a number of sessions. Especially, they're going to be talking about broadband, because that's a real hot topic with the members of the League of Municipalities right now. What's so interesting is we're kind of ahead of the curve, mm-hmm. and we can share information about how we've been able to actually construct the one that we're building right now.
Well, I suspect another topic of discussion at that meeting is going to be some pending legislation in the State House that could radically change the way alcohol is sold in the state of North Carolina.
You better believe it. And that is, there's the House Bill 971. Earlier in the year when the legislature went in session, the town board authorized me to send a letter to our representatives, Senator Davis and Representative Corbin, concerning the issue at the time of where they would consolidate all of the county ABC boards into one single board. In other words, that would have meant that we'd have had to consolidate with the Franklin ABC board. We didn't think that was a good idea because we have a unique perspective about the needs of our local community, and Franklin has the same. So we were all against that. And we inserted into the letter also, we are against any move to privatize the system, that we believe that, of course, the ABC state system can be improved and reformed, but it would be a bad idea to eliminate it and privatize it. The feedback I got from our legislators was, well, that's not really on the table. Until about 2 weeks ago, right before the final bill filing in the long session, all of a sudden, Representative McGrady, who is on the ABC committee for the House, proposed this new legislation that would eliminate the ABC system throughout the state, and it would happen almost overnight, and then it would be replaced with the issuing of 1,500 private liquor permits that stores could then set up, you know, the sale of alcohol, spirituous liquor, throughout the state. In other words, if we were to lose our ABC store and the revenue that we receive from it at the local level that goes toward a lot of things like drug treatment programs, school programs, and things like that, if we were to lose that, then you would have a system where someone could go and apply for a liquor license and have liquor sales at their establishments. And this is a very broad bill. You could have kind of like a little department store and still be selling, you know, alcohol within that. I just don't think that's a good idea. I think that we have a well-managed and well-controlled system. And it really concerns me that with that kind of a model, I suspect the tax generated would probably wind up in Raleigh. And if it goes to Raleigh first, there's no guarantee that it would come back to this community. So I'm very concerned. If other people are concerned, I urge you to email or call your representatives and express your concern. Now, to be fair, I know that there are some restaurant association members and others who think that this is a good idea. But, you know, in this particular case, I'm not for it. The town board is concerned about it. And more than that, we have a five-member ABC board of local citizens that basically are in charge of operating the ABC store. And they all are totally against this idea of privatization, too. And they're working very hard, and I want to give them, you know, a shout-out and my appreciation for their active participation in trying to educate our legislators about the importance of having the ABC systems remain in effect.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that as it moves through the legislature. And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.